Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes. Hello and welcome. It's a Confessions podcast brought to you from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. This week, Sister Susie isn't in the pub.
No.
Brother Matt isn't in the gutter.
I'm not.
Sister Holly, well, are you nothing to do with the cupboard of tat anymore?
No, off the clock.
Oh, right. And they're not here because I'm not here because...
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
Because I can only apologise for being on holiday. In my defence, I haven't had holiday since Christmas.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm only gone for not long.
Not long at all.
I mean, it's just, I'll buy you a present.
Oh, nice. Wow, that's great, yes.
Yeah.
What would you like?
I would like big ice cream, please.
Big ice cream. Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, well, yeah. That's travel well.
A friend of mine used to have to travel a lot for his job, and the kind of mode that they operated on was his wife always just say, that's fine, remember BFP. And he would go, what's that? A big flipping present.
Yes.
So that's
nice.
The deal.
Yeah.
I'm going away, I'll bring you an ice cream. I'm not
ice
sure.
Ice cream.
Holly,
thank
what
you.
Can I get you?
Some nice chocolate. Yeah. The classic.
Classic chocolate. Or the one shaped like a mountain. Maybe that one.
But you want kind of super like industrial sort of... you don't want swanky chocolate because you don't like swanky chocolate because you call it sad. Sad chocolate.
No,
my chocolate is sad chocolate.
No, I call dark chocolate sad chocolate.
Oh, yes.
But I like, you know when someone goes on holiday and then they come back and they're like, oh, I've been on holiday, here's some exotic chocolates or something.
Yes, would you like that?
That's nice, as long as they're not like fruit cream filled. I don't an orange cream or a strawberry. What is that?
Would you want just plain?
Just milk chocolate. Just white chocolate. Yeah.
Milk or white chocolate from Denmark.
Yeah.
Okay. Suze?
I'll take chocolates as well, but I don't want milk or white chocolate. I'll have some dark chocolates, please.
Yes. Let's make sure it's complicated. And I want some ice cream.
Yeah.
I could just get you some Walls vanilla in a tub.
In a big tub.
That's melted.
There you go, that's melted.
It's like liquid.
Yeah.
You can drink it.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry about all that. But the good news is that Susie has done some rootling around in the dusty archives to dig out a few tales that deserve another airing. So we're going to be popping over to the parish notice board to see what grabbed our attention this week. And of course, no podcast would be complete without a little look at the Mark Knopfler Not For Broadcast section. But first, it's time to grab your drink of choice, your ice cream in a tub. Sit back and enjoy as we travel down the stone spiral staircase of time into the crypt to deliver you this.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So, I definitely have to say, this particular confession has a 12 certificate.
Oh.
Particularly if you're eating.
Excellent news. I love that.
Okay?
Yeah.
The warning having been broadcast. Here is today's tale, which comes from Zeb. Thank you, Zeb. Father Simon and the Fellowship of Forgiveness, I beseech you... I don't even know if I'm going to get away with this. Anyway, it's Holly's fault if I don't. I beseech you for forgiveness for a misdemeanour which I am sure will bring Brother Matt great delight. Those of the listening fraternity who live out in the sticks may have noticed an increase in farm traffic over the last few weeks as silage season has firmly
silage.
Begun.
Very good.
This is the time of year when many a farmer cuts their fields of grass, transports it back to the yard, and stores it in preparation for winter time, ready to be fed to their cattle. With a glimmer of hope in the weather forecast and a willing team, we have thus far managed to cut, collect, and store 268 acres worth of grass, which is a good start. What comes next is the spreading of a plentiful byproduct from the cattle on said fields, which acts as a natural fertilizer, increasing the crop of grass ready for the next cut. Circle of life and all that, as Matt would say.
Yeah.
It was whilst undertaking this rather unpleasant job that the following events took place. Having just unloaded my tanker, I set off to return to the yard, travelling a short track from a field to a nearby road. However, as I approached, I could make out a van blocking my way, parked at a diagonal across the track with its nose brushing the hedge, and a man crouched on the near side of it, seemingly unaware of a very large vehicle approaching that was me. Could it be a bird spotter, I wondered? Or perhaps he had lost something. However, as I drew my massive tractor closer, it became apparent that this was not the case. To put this into context, our farm straddles the A30 in West Devon, the main route into and out of much of Devon and Cornwall for locals, holidaymakers and business folk alike. As a result, a great multitude of people pass the farm daily, barely taking note except for the nearly home trees on the neighbouring farm, very Cornish listeners will know. Apparently. Okay, I'm sure that'll be explained. However, for the volume of travellers, there are no service stations for a good few miles each way, which I can only assume was the cause of this man's plight. As I got closer, it became clear that, in essence, the gentleman was engaged in a similar activity to me, albeit in a more direct manner. Hopefully that's vague enough for Tea Time Radio. However, given his hiding behind his van and keeping lookout toward the road, to my utter disbelief, he still failed to notice me as I drew within 20 yards in my noisy tractor. What to do? I had work to do, and this man was clearly unaware of my need to proceed. With that in mind, I stepped out of my tractor and cautiously approached yard by yard. How could it be? This man still failed to notice me as I drew closer. Was it denial of the unfortunate circumstances? Was it brazen defiance? I couldn't fathom it, but he left me no choice. I approached and tapped him on the shoulder.
Oh, what?
This turned out to be a bad choice, Father Simon. Yes. The man turned out to be wearing headphones.
Oh, no!
And so had been blissfully unaware of my presence until this particular moment. Consequently, I caused him such a shock that he jumped, slipped, and sat in the very spot where he'd been hovering. This had not gone as I'd expected. Well. He then leapt to his feet, returned his trousers to their rightful position, and looked at me in horror, but with very little to say, as he appeared to not speak much English. Desperately trying to maintain some composure, I gestured that I needed to pass with my vehicle and could he please move his van. Evidently, the shame and embarrassment were too much to bear, and with this he cleaned up.
Oh, boy.
Threw it into the footwell and jumped into his seat and retreated with haste. By this point,
into the footwell?
Yes. By this point, I was in no fit state to drive a wheelbarrow, let alone a tractor, so I took 10 minutes to recover whilst calling my two brothers to tell them the story. As such, I throw myself on your mercy. I had no intention to cause such misfortune and can only imagine the discomfort and unpleasantness of the drive home for that poor man. Can you please find it in me? Can you find it in you to forgive, please? Zeb with a farming tale. I did. Okay, if you can now turn the radio up if you are of a sensitive nature. Thank you very much, Zeb, for that. Sister Holly, welcome back.
Hello. Well, it's very nice to be back. I think the thing is, Zeb, if you were the person in the van who had done this, then this would be an obvious not forgiven. Although I'm still not going to forgive you because I think you should have been a bit more aware. He had headphones on. Couldn't you have seen that whilst you were approaching him? I think you should have seen that maybe coming. Also, did you really desperately need to get past that van? Surely there was another route you could have gone, could have avoided it perhaps, and none of this would have happened. It's also just a very, very gross and sick and wrong story from start to end.
Sick and wrong.
And so that's why I'm not forgiving at all.
That's your three-word for most days. Sick and wrong.
Love
Brother Matthew.
Who wears headphones when that particular act is being performed? No one does. That seems a bit weird.
It does.
And also throwing it into the footwell. What on earth is going on? The whole point was to not have it in the car. For that, it was very, very, very funny story. And so for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
I'm going to give this a 15 certificate.
15?
For loose, really? For very, very loose morals.
Oh, right, just for the loose morals. Yeah. Fine.
Father Mayo, Sister Susie, brother from another gutter, the Confessional Collective, says, Nigel, I have a confession that goes back to something I did many years ago, and the effects of my actions have been troubling me ever since, as they should do. The incident took place New Year's Eve 2003, and as ever, I was at my friend's house. We'll call them Grant and Katie. This year, their eldest daughter, who we'll call Steph, had reached the landmark age of 18 and had decided she was going to the pub with her friends to celebrate New Year instead of remaining with us oldies and her younger siblings. Well, after spending the many hours preparing herself for the evening, Steph trotted off about 8 o'clock-ish, four of her friends to have a good time, but she said she'd be back just before midnight to let in the New Year with her family. It's a bit early to go for a New Year confession, but anyway.
Why not?
Our evening continued as it always did, with activities including drinking, eating, drinking, talking, drinking, generally playing the fool, and a little bit of drinking. There were no new guests this year that Grant and I could try and hide in the freezer, and everybody there was wise to our standard trick, so a new approach was required. After what had been a particularly quiet evening for us, at about 10 minutes before midnight, five slightly merry girls arrived back for Steph to celebrate New Year with her family. As they entered the room, all five managed to pour themselves into a heap on the floor, and Steph went round the room introducing everybody to her four guests. This is my mum, Katie, my nan, Ethel, Dean, my brother, Nancy, my sister, and that's Grant, my dad, and that is Nigel, my godfather. At this point, I, Nigel, said, "How do you know?" What? Said Steph's instant reply. "How do you know he's your dad and I'm your godfather? Even your mother doesn't know for sure." "Yep, that's right," adds Grant.
What?
You see what I'm getting at?
Oh, my.
At this point, the sherry trifle that Ethel had just put in her mouth was being sprayed across the room as she tried to stifle the laughter. The dog was happy and was making a good job of clearing up all the evidence. Steph's jaw hit the floor, as did all of her friends' jaws, to be honest. Nobody else batted an eyelid. "What?" was the only thing Steph could manage. I continued, "Well, you know Grant and I are close, and you know how lazy he can be, so sometimes I helped out, and your mum was happy with the arrangement, so when she got pregnant, nobody was sure who the father was."
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's right, says Grant. It didn't really matter who the father was, so we didn't bother to find out. "Mum!" screams Steph. Katie had been busy chatting and so far had missed what I'd said to our daughter. "What?" asked Katie. "Well, what Nigel and Dad are saying, is it true?" "What have they said?" "That Nigel's my dad and Dad isn't." An almost hyperventilating Steph screamed out. Katie at this point must have given the most unhelpful answer possible. "Oh, that, not that old chestnut again."
Right.
And instantly returned to the conversation she was having with the person next to her, completely oblivious to what Steph thought she had just confirmed. I have never seen five teenagers go from happily married to stone-cold sober so quickly in my life. At this point, Steph stood up and ran hysterically to her room, closely followed by her four friends who felt they had to comfort her, not to be seen, not to seem for the rest of the night, and missing the New Year in with her parents. Grant and I continued drinking as we were before the girls returned. Katie continued her in-depth conversation with whoever she was talking to. In the following months, when Steph was being particularly teenagerish, Katie would say, "Wait till your father gets home." And when Grant did arrive home, he would always say, "No, she doesn't mean me, she means your real dad," and that would be the end of it. How long Steph was left to wonder what the truth is unknown to me. I do not seek forgiveness from Katie for implying that she was a good time girl in the past. I do not seek forgiveness from Grant for claiming I had spent time with his wife. I do not seek forgiveness from Ethel for the wasted sherry trifle. I do not seek forgiveness from Steph for so publicly announcing that I could be her father and throwing her entire concept of family life out of the window. No. I seek forgiveness from Steph's four friends, who on the first New Year's Eve that they could legally spend in a pub, only had me dropping my bombshell on Steph at 10 to midnight, and for them to have to spend New Year stone cold sober. I would like to point out that these events had no long-term effect on Steph, and she still talks to me and Grant as though we're old fossils and a pain in her derriere.
Yes, of course.
But she never has sent me a Father's Day card.
Oh,
well.
Right, no.
I think Nigel sounds like a pain in the neck, to be perfectly honest.
That's right. Leading the jury. So
yes, I am leading the jury here, so I know precisely what... I could hear Sister Susie gasping. So over to you, Sister Suze.
Well, Nigel, I just don't think... You don't want forgiveness, so I think you should want forgiveness, because it's just... I don't forgive you or Grant. I get Grant involved in this. He shouldn't have gone along with it, and Katie, for that matter, too. I just think that if I was that person and that was me, that'd be horrible to think that my dad wasn't my dad, and to talk about my mum like that in front of all your friends as well. How embarrassing. No, thank you. Not forgiven.
Not forgiven, I think, Matt.
I'm going to forgive. Just because, I mean, embarrassing the kids, you know what they're like. I mean, he was unlikely to be breaking this news on New Year's Eve. She should have known that. And everyone else went along with it. It was all fine. And he's not really interested in forgiveness anyway. And also, you were spurred having the teenagers around on New Year's Eve. Well done all round for that.
But so, Steph was hysterical and she was very, very upset.
I'm sure they all went to the room and talked about Taylor Swift or whatever. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
In 2003?
She was huge in 2003.
I know she has been around
a while. Yeah, she was.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Now, we're just going to have a brief moment of pause here for the Parish Notice Board section, starting with something that we haven't had before. There seems to be a voice note on the board. How do you pin a voice note board?
Very
like
clever.
This.
Okay, I'm just going to use my sonic screwdriver.
That's the one. That's
nice.
One. Hi, Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Holly and Sister Susie. It's Louise Redknapp. I wanted to share my confession with you.
What?
This is something I've not told anyone before. So I have a social media team that sometimes say to me, it would be really good to put a bit of, you know, personal life on, break up, album promo, all of that stuff. It'd be really good to use your kids, because the kids always go down great on social media. But I've got teenage boys that hate being anywhere near my social media. And I literally have to beg them to just get one picture on holiday. And then I have to promise to not post it. So recently I had a lovely picture of them that I really wanted to post. And they both look gorgeous, but I knew they would not agree to it. So I blocked them both from being able to see my Instagram, and I posted it. And I kept them blocked for a month. So by the time they were allowed back in, it was too far down the feed, so they never saw it, which is not great as their mum. But, you know, needs must.
Well, this is a turn.
Very, very good. Oh, I like that a lot.
Do celebrities have their own notice board? I suppose.
Yes.
They don't want to hang out at the ordinary notice board with ordinary people.
No, no.
So that's quite interesting.
Definitely
also,
forgiving. Definitely forgiving. Well done. Blocking your own family off your social media. Well
it's
done.
It's an interesting thing. I think many parents will have realised that if they do anything, that their kids either don't follow them or they have been blocked. Or you certainly blocked your parents from following
They tend to block you, don't they? That's what happens. Your kids tend to block you. You don't tend
Holly,
to get blocked by your parents.
Are you on social media at all?
A little bit.
Have you blocked your parents?
Well, my parents aren't really on social media, isn't
block
really...
them anyway. What about your brother? Have you blocked him?
No. Siblings, I think it is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Parents, it's trickier, I suppose. It depends what you're posting. If you're just posting, here's a nice picture of me on holiday, great. But if you're posting, here's me on a night out with the girls or something, I don't know, you might not want your parents to see that, I suppose.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks to Louise Redknapp. If you're a celebrity and you want to leave us a voice note, then I'm sure you'll know the number to call. I don't know what the number is to call.
Is there a number?
So maybe you just have to call in at reception and tell the receptionist what your confession is.
She records it and then gives it to us.
That'll be fine. Yeah. Matt, do you have anything fantastic?
Yes, I do. I have more five-star reviews that praise me to the skies. So Sam Putt says, the best podcast ever! Repeat 1,000. 5 stars. I cannot believe how good this is. Matt is hilarious. And Sister Susie and Holly are extremely strict. When I found out this was back, I was overjoyed. It's the best thing ever. P.S. Matt for president.
Okay.
Well done, Sam. Wolfdude04 says, 5 stars, my request. 5 stars, my favourite confession was from a long time ago. It was called A Waft of Whoopee Cushion Wickedness. It involved the Sugar Plum Fairy dancing in a whoopee cushion accidentally going off and the audience thinking it was the fairy. It was really funny. The other confession I really loved was about those two boys who were stealing cutlery and they hid them in their shirt and it dropped and made a loud noise. They ran off before they could get caught.
This doesn't sound
the whole
funny
story.
At all.
I think Wolf Dude has just been hallucinating.
Yes. Hopefully you read these. It would be a nice surprise to see those confessions again, smiley face.
The thing is,
don't remember those.
I don't either. Wolf Dude 04 implies that either Wolf Dude was born in 2004, or there are three other people who also want
Wolf
to call Dude. Themselves
Wolf Dude. I think there's a lot of Wolf Dudes.
Do you think?
Yes,
Wolf Dudes.
My knowledge of the internet. So yes, but those are great stories, Wolf Dude 04. Well done.
Yeah, but I think you have just made them up, and I don't think they actually exist.
Can't remember them, no.
Well, I need more details to find them if I'm going to find them.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
All right.
And they're probably from the other place.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And if we... ugh.
All right.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Susie, what do you have from the Board of Notices?
I've got this from Shumi, who has been in touch before, and they say, hello again. We finally got to the episode where you read out my email tonight. My name is Shumi because I have a big interest in mushrooms and fungi, and it's the nickname my mum gave me. If you were serious about the mug, I've included my address. Love the pod, Shumi.
Ah.
I don't trust anyone who hangs around with mushrooms.
No. You're not a big fan of mushrooms, are you?
When you pick them up, you can tell that they're demonic. You can just send a shiver down your spine. Yeah. You can actually pick up demonic vibes. Come on, you know that.
Demonic?
I don't think so.
You're in the supermarket.
I think they're quite cute. If I see a mushroom whilst I'm out on a walk, I'm like, ooh, it's a little mushroom, like a little pixie mushroom. No.
It could be poison. It could be a toadstool.
Yeah, no, and that's really cute.
What? Yeah. Toadstools? Toadstools
yeah.
are lethal.
You don't have to eat them.
Yeah, but they look cute.
Them.
I got a picture with one of me pointing at it and smiling because I was so excited about seeing
Did
one in the
Did you post that
wild.
On social media? the family with that one?
No, Whoa. I didn't.
Are you like a pixie? Is that what you really are?
Wow.
That live under a mushroom.
Yeah.
Good work.
Mark Knopfler time. The stuff that was so shabby we couldn't broadcast it. Barry, we understand. Good service when you stay at a hotel is something you expect. You have high standards, but a receptionist being rude to you does not make it okay.
Sorry, I've read ahead.
Does not make it okay for you to do a poo in the room kettle.
What? Oh, my goodness.
And then leave it there to be found. I mean, obviously you wouldn't do that and then clear it out.
No. No point in doing it in
Barry,
the kettle.
You are.
And then I cleaned it out and everything was fine.
In the kettle.
You wouldn't want Barry to be a friend of yours,
no.
would you?
No. Why is it always having to do something so complicated like that? I mean...
How
did you get it in there? Because they're tiny.
Exactly.
They're
they
like
are.
Little tiny kettles.
Tiny kettles. I mean, it feels like he's done maybe he had a couple of goes. Barry. Oh, what happened then?
Disgusting.
I think maybe next time, just let people know how you feel, Barry, instead of leaving them
messages.
I've
got a new better idea. Don't go there again.
No,
there
you go. Yeah. Fine. That easy.
And keep your toilet in the toilet. Also, Stacey, painting over the lens of a speed camera with clear nail varnish so it would blur the lens enough to make every image unrecognisable just so you wouldn't get any more speeding tickets on a particular section of the road. Is indeed illegal.
Yep.
And we have forwarded all your details.
Yes.
No, we haven't. We do not condone criminal... I mean, that is criminal damage.
Yes.
Absolutely no way that will get broadcast.
Nope.
And
don't get on.
Shame on you. Who do you think is worse, Stacey or Barry?
Oh, dear.
Well, Barry I mean, Barry could probably get sued and Stacey could go to prison.
Yeah. Difficult to be on the side of either. You're either on the side of the criminal damage woman or the poo kettle man.
I feel like Barry, it's somehow worse. Even though it's somehow worse.
Also, he's not getting back at the receptionist because the receptionist isn't going to be having
coffee,
tea in the room. That's not likely. You'd have to poo in his kettle,
in
Barry, next time. Think about it.
Just think of it. Think this through.
As the receptionist, which kettle do you use? No reason. I just want to know. Also, I'll be in the loo for a while.
In a hotel again.
I'm just going to bring my own kettle. Thank you very much. Okay, that's enough of that. Let's go back into the crypt, where it's so much more straightforward.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Father Simon... An honourable crew. I've been listening to the confessions on my commute back from work for quite a while now, and I've wanted to send mine in, but have held back for fear of repercussions. It's a burden I've been carrying since 1986, at the very start of my career. I'm a personal assistant, or a PA as it's commonly known, and I have the reputation of being ferociously efficient. I've worked for execs in a variety of industries, and am known as the Rottweiler. Such is my determination to make sure things are delivered on time and nothing is missed. However, this was not always the case.
At the tender age of 19, on a bright but chilly December morning in 1986, I found myself in the foyer of the Grabber Incorporated building on Park Avenue in New York, trying to work out which floor of this skyscraper my office was located on. My job was to work as the PA to a vice president of a well-known bank, a UK-owned investment bank. I was petrified and very homesick and was literally quivering in my formal suit and smart court shoes when a voice behind me said my name. It turned out it was my new boss, a Scottish middle-aged man called Michael. We then proceeded to take the elevator, as they called it, across the pond to the 19th floor, and he walked me to my desk and then left me whilst he made himself comfortable in his glass-fronted office. I sat on the other side so he could see everything I was doing and vice versa, and there he left me for a whole day. I realise now this is some kind of initiative test to see if I get on and do something proactively, but I obviously failed spectacularly as, such was my fear and shyness, I couldn't move off my seat and instead proceeded to sharpen pencils all day. On my second day, I thought it was a good idea to observe what the other PAs were doing in the open plan office, copy what they did. They were a frightening bunch, Father Simon. Brash New Yorkers with loud voices, big hair, long manicured nails, just like Sister Holly, running around in Reebok high tops and chewing gum. The PA next to me was a particularly scary individual called Leslie Marasco, who was obviously very pleased with her boss because whenever he left the room, she shouted after him, "You sadist!"
What?
I cleaned that up a little bit.
Oh, really?
On the third day, Michael, the boss from hell, instructed me that one of my duties was to empty the papers in his out tray. Straightforward enough, one might think, but no, it wasn't. I had no idea where to file these various documents, so I went to have a look at the corporate credit files in the Xerox room, where the photocopier and shredder were located. These files were massive and confusing. I didn't have a clue where to put this filing, and such was my nervous disposition, didn't feel I could ask my boss or the other PAs in the office for advice. So I devised a temporary workaround and decided to put the filing in the drawer of my desk, with the intention of sorting it out later, when things were more familiar. A good plan, you might think, but it had one flaw. After a few weeks or months in the office, my understanding of the corporate credit files had not improved at all, and the drawer in my desk had become so full of filing it had spread out to not one, not two, but three large filing cabinet drawers as well. To hide my ever-growing secret, I made sure to lock the various drawers before I left at the end of the day, and I hid the key in a suitably odd place so that no one would find it. So I'm about 3 months into my new job and things are starting to become a little bit more enjoyable, and my boss unexpectedly, and very out of character, calls me into his office for a chat. Never a good sign. His opening line was, "So how's the filing going then?" Except he was Scottish. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true.
Immediately, very loud warning bells started to ring in my head and my stomach turned when I realised that I'd forgotten to lock the drawers when I left work the night before. I whimpered, "Okay, I think, a little behind, but catching up." After which he told me to follow him out to the filing cabinets and to pull everything out of them and put the contents on my desk. I wanted to die a thousand deaths of embarrassment, as not only was my dark secret laid bare, but this was in front of the entire office with several of my colleagues looking on. The humiliation! Michael then told me with a mafia-style glint in his eye and menacing tone to his voice that he wanted the filing gone by the end of the day, and then strode back to his glass-fronted fishbowl of an office. I looked at the mountain of papers on my desk. Even if I did know where to put them, it would take me months. I had to find another solution, and quickly. The world of investment banking, Father Simon, as you probably know, is a very corporate and smartly dressed place to work. In those days, there was a dress code for ladies, which was a skirt, jacket, court shoes, and pantyhose. First confession I've ever had with the word pantyhose.
Yes, it is.
Not the last, though. I'm so glad that I was wearing a jacket as it came to my rescue. You see, I hatched a plan to get rid of the filing, and that was wodge by wodge, a technical term, to hide it under my jacket, and surreptitiously and with an air of nonchalance, slink my way to the Xerox room, and when I was absolutely sure that I was alone, I put it all in the shredder. Every single page. It worked a treat because by the end of the day, and after about 30 of these clandestine trips to the shredder, the filing was very definitely gone. And I must admit to walking home in my new own Reebok high tops with an extra spring in my step. However, working on the rationale that no one had missed the filing for 3 months by this stage and didn't know what was in it, my plan was to deny, deny, deny if charged.
just didn't know that anything was missed at all. And when my boss the following day asked me if the filing was gone, I looked at him straight in the eyes and I said, of course it's definitely gone. He just didn't know that gone meant shredded. Shortly after this, the corporate gods must have been smiling on me as he was shipped to another branch in some far-flung, godforsaken part of the globe, and I was promoted to work for the senior vice president. And I've kept this dark secret hidden to this very, very day. Simon, after 37 years of carrying around this heavy burden of guilt, I would like to apologise to the investment bank in question, who are very well known, and to any of my former colleagues who might have spent hours searching for a memo, telex, fax or contract relating to a multi-million pound dollar leveraged buyout. Whatever one of them is. I mean, that's me saying, I don't know what it is, but Cassie does. I'm very much hoping that you think my confession is worthy of understanding and maybe just a little bit of forgiveness. Well, we're going to find out now, I suspect. See, filing an organisation, Holly's very hot on this and she'd have been very good, but would you have been very good right at, on day one?
I think the thing is, Cassie, the fact that the other PAs were a bit nasty to you.
They were.
And I would have thought, oh, okay, well, you know, as an adult, you'd be really, really nice. But no, they nicknamed you the Rottweiler, which makes me think that actually you're not a very nice person, Cassie, and you're just as nasty as those PAs were to you when you were younger. And that's not very good. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that people could have lost millions of pounds all because of your shredding, because you couldn't be bothered to file it properly. Everything was on paper back then, I presume. I don't know. Wasn't there. And not on computers. So they lost all these pieces of paper. Millions of pounds lost. Not forgiving.
Everything was
it was only
paper.
The 80s. We're recording things on slate.
Brother from another cut.
I'm going to forgive. Here's the thing. Why is she getting initiative tests when she's going? Have I got the job or not? This isn't the SAS. I don't need to do initiative tests to work out whether I should be doing your job or not. Also, you said get rid of the filing. Well, it's got rid of. If you needed it put somewhere else or recorded somewhere else, you should have said so, Sunshine. And that's your initiative test failed and why you got shipped off to some other job. And I got a promotion. So have some of that, Sunshine. I definitely forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Daz. Thank you, Daz, for today's tale. Father Simon and the Brother and Sisterhood of Mercy. I am looking for forgiveness for something that happened a few years ago. Having listened to your podcast, I believe this would be the time and the place to confess. I hope you listen to the radio show as well.
Mm-hmm.
4 till 7, Monday to Friday. It began a few years ago on a cold November evening in the coastal town of Weston-super-Mare. It was the night of the infamous carnival. My partner was working nights, so it was just me, my 6-year-old daughter and 2-year-old son. Sat in lazy boy chairs and push chairs for 3 hours, watching people dance and sing on the back of lorries and tractors. Isn't exactly my idea of a good time, but it's all about the kids.
Yeah.
And they absolutely loved it. Well, sometime into the evening, kids started their favourite whiny phrase. Daddy, I'm hungry. Okay, all right, it's fine. Okay. Daddy, I'm hungry. As the carnival was edging to a finish, Daddy, I'm hungry. Okay. We decided to pack up early and head for the fish and chip shop. We ordered several sausages, a large cod and lots of chips, plus a lovely pot of curry sauce, which was poured into a polystyrene cup. We're all set for a fine evening.
Yes, we are.
Well, we sat on a lovely, long, enclosed bench with nice bushes and trees surrounding us, trying to manoeuvre everything. Push chair, lazy boy chairs, kids and so on is a pretty mean feat, especially late in the evening. So, with all the hustle and bustle of trying to sort out the chips, the fish, the sausages, I had accidentally knocked over the pot of curry sauce. It had gone all over the left-hand corner of the lovely, enclosed bench. Bother and blast, I yelled in frustration as I lost the beautiful curry sauce to the elements. Anyway, I felt the best thing to do was to move all of the stuff, the push chair, the lazy boy chairs, the kids, to the other lovely enclosed bench, which was about 10 yards away. I did rescue a little bit of the curry sauce, but the rest of it was just smeared all over the bench. Really, not much I could do about that. Anyway, the kids and I were settled on our new bench and happily tucked into our food. It was only a few minutes later when I noticed a large group of women, late teens, I would say, coming out of the chip shop. They were very loud and had definitely had a few drinks. Oh, selfie with our food. Let's get a picture of everyone. Selfie time. They giggled in merriment. That's my impression of teenage girl.
I like
girl.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was then that one of them approached me and asked if I would take a picture of them all with one of their phones. Reluctantly, I said yes, despite the fact that clearly I was a dad on my own, yeah, with two young children trying to eat my fish and chips in peace. Well, imagine my horror and shock when, as I held one of their phones up to take a picture, that they decided to sit down on the lovely enclosed bench that we had just sat on 5 minutes ago. My eyes were drawn in particular to the left-hand side of the bench, and to make matters worse, the girl that seemed to sit in the spot where I'd spilled the curry sauce was wearing white jeans.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
As I took the picture, it did appear, however, that she hadn't noticed this fact. She knew she was wearing white jeans. She didn't know she was sitting in curry sauce. No. My hand literally shook as I passed the phone back to one of them. Well, I scurried back to the kids and straight away... Scurried, very good. Mm. Back to the kids and straight away hid the empty pot of curry sauce from out of view. I then watched the group of girls walk swerving past all over the pavement, eating their chips and screaming and giggling. My eyes were drawn to the girl in white jeans as she went past. Yep, big brownie yellow patch splattered all over the seating area of her white jeans. It was the kind of thing my son, who was 2 at the time, would need a whole pack of wet wipes to clean off. And off they went into the distance as happy as Larry. I'm guessing till up to this point where it was one of her friends might have noticed the stain on the rear of her jeans. And at that point, that would have been the end of their evening, because there are some stains that you can live with, Father Simon, and others that you really can't.
No.
I don't know, as I didn't stick around long enough to find out. In fact, I scurried again,
yeah,
away with the kids, an entourage of stuff that I had, quickly before anyone else sat on the curry sauce stained bench, because it remained stained. Father Simon, I'm seeking forgiveness from that girl in the white jeans, as it would have been my fault that your night was probably ruined by having what would have looked like a... basically soiled clothing on your night out.
Yeah,
it was me, the guy who took the photo of you November 2022 at Western Carnival. I wonder if they're listening and still have the picture. I'm also seeking forgiveness for anyone else that might have accidentally sat on that bench. I'm very sorry. Please remember, it's very difficult to clean up a pot of spilled curry sauce when you have two hungry children, the push chairs, the lazy boy chairs, and lots of takeaway food and so on. And we get the picture. We know the excuses. Daz wants forgiveness. Does he get it from Sister Susie? I suspect not. Let's find out.
Well, Daz, like, I am learning this. Children come with a lot of stuff.
They do.
You know, a real lot of stuff. And I understand. However... I just don't think I can ever forgive you, because, as you said, your son needed a lot of wet wipes for getting messy. So therefore, you had a lot of wet wipes. So therefore, you could have cleaned it up. Once the children had the fish and chips and they were eating it and they were busy, they're not bothering you for a couple of minutes. You definitely have enough time to get those wet wipes out and do a little bit of, you know, cleaning up on there. And that poor girl that had a soggy bottom, that's just
she
not...
did.
No one wants a soggy bottom. And you could have at least told her, even if you, you know, didn't get to mop it up in time. So no forgiveness.
Okay. Yeah, it would have done... It would have looked as though she'd done a whoopsie. As I think Frank Spencer might have said. Brother
great,
Matthew.
Great reference. Who doesn't look down behind them before they sit down outside? What kind of idiot doesn't do that?
It's dark.
Look down. No, you always look down.
She was
like,
drunk.
Could be birds around, could be chips, could be curry sauce, could be anything around there. So isn't it really her fault? It's definitely her fault. Too interested in getting on the gram, as the teenagers say.
Nice.
So, yeah, very much so. Some mothers do have them. So for that reason,
yes,
I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
That's it for this Confessions Podcast from the Crypt special, which only happened because I wasn't here. So I apologise again. Big presents are on the way. If you've been inspired by anything, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Matt, are you going to have a bonus code phrase for us, please?
Let's just go with don't touch the kettle.
Don't touch the kettle.
Let's have that as our code phrase.
Don't touch the kettle. If you got this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo, or you can post it on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the shower. Send us a 5-star review. We'll be back next week with a new bunch of brand new confessions. Until then, not in the pub, Sister Susie says.
Ta-ra.
Not in the cupboard, de tat, Sister Holly performs. Forms this aria.
That's actually very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And not in the gutter, Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Keep the magic going. Keep the magic going, everyone.
I'm getting hot in here.
I feel as though the magic is flowing.
I think it is.